On Saturday evening, I took my food in a crowded room and headed over to a cocktail table with my wife and I, sat the food down and began a conversation that I had no idea would completely alter my belief in what is unknown. I was at Chris Michael's wedding over the weekend, and I couldn't believe the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and experience that my wife and I had simply for walking up to a cocktail table and opening conversation with a lovely couple. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I'm your fearless host, Greg Bolden. Now, over the weekend, I was hanging out with my brother from another mother because Chris Michaels got married off. He is hitched, ladies and gentlemen. So for all those ladies out there that have said, you know what? Greg Bolden and America Emboldened has the best-looking co-host on Fridays. Well, he is off the market, hands off, and he is married and happy. Now, it was an absolutely beautiful wedding in Long Island. We had a great time. The food was absolutely phenomenal. The wedding was beautiful with these white rose bouquets at the table, as well as this nice archway that was the centerpiece where they got married in front of, and heard great stories about how they met and what led them to the love that caused him to propose and be married now. What a great celebration it was. But as I said at the top of the show, I had what I would like to call a life-changing experience. Now, I've always had this philosophy that you should always hold the door for people, and you should always say hello to the people that you meet on the street that look you in the eyes, because it's an opportunity to perhaps talk to and meet some of the most phenomenal human beings in the entire world. And when we deny the ability to give of ourselves and others to give to us, we are denying the experience of reaching out and connecting in meaningful ways and bettering both ourselves in that relation and feeling. And so in that spirit, during the cocktail hour, immediately after Chris was married, we walked into the kind of bar cocktail area where they had amazing food. I mean, let me tell you, Chris did it well with his wife. They put out an amazing spread at this restaurant in Islip. I believe that's how you say that. Islip, New York on Long Island. And so there was like this meatballs, these gnocchis, and penne pasta that was being made. They had this raw bar with shrimp and lobster rolls and tons of other things. They had sushis. Then they had the finger foods, the pigs in the blanket. You name it. The food was coming around. I was almost full before I ever got to the dinner portion. But anyway, so I get the food with my wife after we make our rounds. And after I pick up my food, she said, "Do you want to sit down?" I looked at all the tables and I'm looking at some of the older people that are there. And I'm thinking, no, let them have a seat. And I see this couple standing off to the side of a wall next to a cocktail table. And so we walked up to them and put my food down, and I shook both of their hands, introduced myself and said hello, and then introduced my wife. I had no idea that that chance meeting was going to be one of the best conversations that I could get into. And, you know, I've been doing this podcast now for 380 plus shows on the network, and I prefer the conversation that I just had to anything that I've done on the network. And so I'm inviting the person that I spoke with that I'm going to share the story with you. I'm going to invite her on to the show. Her name is Samantha. Now, her husband was also very nice, but we're going to focus on Samantha because her husband actually said to me when Samantha went off to the bathroom, my wife went off to the bathroom, and her husband says, you know, tell me more about your show. I was talking about the political things, but then I said, you know, I've worked in like energy work shows. I had a master astrologist that I spoke with. I talk about the esoteric from time to time. And he says, oh, well, you got to talk to my wife. She's a psychic. And I said, I don't know. I'm a little bit still of a skeptic when it comes to psychics. I'm supposed to have somebody talking to my dog, and I was going to do a show around that, and it still hasn't come to fruition. But I'm a little bit of a skeptic on this. He goes, oh, you know, she won't read you unless you tell her to. She's wants to make sure that, you know, it's the people that want to be read. So I figured, why not roll my die and introduce this idea that I do these esoteric shows when she gets back and see where it goes. And so when Samantha came back to the table, I told her that, you know, your husband tells me that you're a psychic. I want to be honest with you. I'm a bit of a skeptic in areas, but I've been growing in my belief in this. And Samantha asked for my permission, not to really be like, hey, let me prove it to you. But she said, well, would you like me to tell you some things about yourself after I mentioned the dog part? And I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. Let's go. Let's hear what you got, Samantha. And I said it with a smile on my face because I'm thinking, let's see where this is. And is this going to be like party tricks or is this going to be something meaningful? Well, I feel that I received not just something meaningful, but I received something that I wasn't expecting because I've never come in contact with somebody that I felt was being completely authentic in what they were sharing and how they were sharing it. And some of these details get very personal. And so I'm not going to get into everything that we talked about, but I am going to speak about things that you would not know simply by listening to my show. You would not know by reading my body language. These are things you really got to pay attention to. Now, both my mom's parents passed away before I was born. They died when my mom was 18, so long before I was born. I never got to know my mom's parents, which made my grandfather and grandmother on my father's side extra special to me. It was the only grandparents that I knew growing up. And my grandfather passed away when I was only 12 years old, which I say only 12, but I would have loved to have had more time with him. I often think about my grandfather, and I think about the way that his beard felt on my face when he gave me hugs, the walks that we would go on as he got his walking stick out, or the albums that he would put on, a Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, the holidays spent with him, watching him work a room in laughter and joking. And I had a special relationship with my grandfather that after he died, I've always been connected, but I've never told anybody this, and there's no way that Samantha would know. And the first thing she said to me, she goes, you have a grandfather figure that's following you around right now, and she's been in your life. And, you know, that could be something you just kind of start off of like, hey, everybody had a grandfather. But the fact that I was like, okay, where's she going with this? I was intrigued immediately by the fact that my relationship with my grandfather goes beyond his death. And I don't talk about this ever. And then she said, you know, you're telepathic as well, which I kind of know, but I don't ever talk about it. It's not something I've ever shared with my Bold American audience. So this is probably the first time that I've ever put this out there. But yes, I do receive information in a very specific way. So I decided to ask Samantha, okay, if that's true, how do I get my information if I'm telepathic? Because there's a certain time that I get it. And once she kind of understood what I was asking, she said, well, it's told to you in your dreams. And that's exactly correct. I often will sit down in my dreams with my grandfather when he appears, which is not often. It's not like we have conversations every night. And I will be shown things or told things from my grandfather. Sometimes he's sitting with my grandmother. Sometimes he's sitting with other people. And then the information that he shares almost always, I don't think I've ever had anything not come true, but it's almost always bone-chilling. To the point where I've been able to tell people that they're pregnant before they even know that they're pregnant. These aren't people that I'm that close to that I should know this type of information, but there's just information that comes to me. And she said, you know, you should really pay attention to all your dreams because you're likely downloading the data, so to speak, of everything that you're bringing in. And I started thinking that oftentimes I think that my dreams are my intuition at work, and I trust when I get messages because normally they're pretty spot on in many ways. And so I thought that that was very interesting. But there's something that she said that completely blew me away. I don't know if anybody else has this ability or sees this, but ever since I was born, and I can remember things in my parents' room, my crib and nursery room, I always have seen what I would describe as colors that sometimes will dance around with my eyes open or my eyes closed. They won't disappear. And it's almost the best that I could explain it back when you had the old analog television and the cable went out and you got the black and white signal. It's like kind of like the noisy, grainy image of black and white. It looks like that, except it's colored. And within those colors, there's circles and they have lights, almost as if it's like an out of focus from far away Christmas tree that's lit up. And I will experience colors from time to time that move. And she says, you have a green and purple, light green and purple angels that have been following you for a long time. And these are the lights that I see. And I've often wondered if it isn't an entity that is with me at the time. And so this chilled me. I could feel the goosebumps when she said it. I looked over at my wife and I realized at that exact moment that this was not a perchance meeting, that this was almost an ordained meeting. I was meant to walk to this table. I was led to this table in that moment. In my overwhelming kind of bringing everything into the room, I believe that in my mind, I knew that that was the table that I was supposed to walk up to. I was supposed to talk to her and her husband. And I enjoyed the conversation greatly. And at this point in time, I got to tell everybody, I'm starting to wonder a little bit more about my intuition of things political, things that are going on in the world, my intuition of the way that I've been making connections with people lately. And I don't think anything's accidental. I don't think that my show took this turn to energy and the esoteric for just no reason whatsoever from just going the politics. And so I want to remain open to that. I'm going to bring Samantha onto the show soon. I'm going to get that scheduled. We texted Sunday morning just to kind of say, hey, thanks so much. Really enjoyed meeting you and your husband. Looking forward to catching up again. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to bringing that show to you all because I think there's so much more ground to cover. And she shared some other things with me about the eclipse coming up and what that means for my life, that I will be very curious to pay attention to and make sure that I stay in tune with as well. So the reason I'm sharing this with you at the top of the show is there's been a ton of studies throughout the years. And they go back to like the 1930s and 40s. You have Rhine's ESP experiments, whether or not ESP was something that would exist. And during that experiment, people were asked to guess the identity of cards that were hidden or symbols using any of their five senses. And Rhine, when J.B. Rhine did this, he claimed that he found evidence to support the existence of ESP, although people have criticized his methods as maybe not being 100% sound. It's actually an app that I downloaded on my phone a long time ago to see if you could have the ability for ESP. And I came out as a heightened alert, so to speak, heightened senses, because I was able to predict often the randomized parts of what was going to appear next within this app. And you can take that as well. I'm going to look that up. I don't have the app anymore, but I believe it was like an ESP app that you could go in. It might even be called that, but I'll have to look that up for you guys if you want to check it. The other experiments were the Ganzfeld experiments. And that was a series of studies that wanted to test for telepathy, which is a form where you can send information from one room. If there's a visual stimulus and there's a receiver somewhere else, they can describe that image without seeing it directly. And when Gonsveld did the experiments, statistically, it had results that showed that there is a psychic effect. And so, yes, there were people that looked at the methodology of this and felt that there could have influenced some of the findings. But where there's smoke, there's fire on these. The next one is remote viewing research. And the United States government has done this as part of Stargate Project during the Cold War. And there is many positive results during this. There's also a website where you can see whether or not you are capable of doing remote viewing. And I can include a link to that as well for those that would like to check that out and see if it's something that you have the ability to do. And then the last one before the break here. The last one is Daryl Bem's precognition studies, and that's more recent. This is all the way back in 2011, so just about 12, 13 years ago now. A psychologist had a controversial paper called Feeling the Future, which had existence of precognition, meaning you have the ability to predict what's about to happen into the future. And so there was a lot of debate during that in the scientific community after he came out with it. So Feeling the Future would be another important paper that I would open your mind up to. So for people that are listening to this going, oh, what is this mumbo jumbo nonsense? Would you just get to the political stuff? Would you get to what's going on in the world? I'm getting to that in just a few moments. But I just want to tell you that there is more than meets the eye here. If you go to Feeling the Future, there were 9 different experiments with over 1,000 participants to feel whether or not people could have time reversing based upon stimuli. And it was a positive finding. You can find that at the NIH, National Library of Medicine. All right, so I want you guys to check that out too. So that way you can see where is the scientific evidence behind all this. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about the censorship that I've been experiencing, Dr. McCullough has been experiencing, and so many others, because we have got to start fighting back. It's time that we take the bull by its horns and we make sure that we get control of this beast that's out there of pre-censorship of people before information is even out in the public. Censorship is out of control. I don't know what it's going to take in order to wake people up, because so many individuals just believe that if I do a show and YouTube takes it down, citing medical misinformation, it must 100% mean that somebody lied or deceived the public during the show. You know what? Shame on YouTube, shame on Google, shame on the Trusted News Initiative and the collusion of these bastards that are controlling the dialogue that will not allow people to hear the story of Kayla Pollack. That's right. We brought you last week a special episode of Dr. Peter McCullough and myself speaking with Kayla, a vaccine injured. And this is not platitudes. This is a doctor, 2 doctors, that said, yes, this is a direct result of her Moderna vaccine, that she became vaccine injured with transverse myelitis. She had a 7-year-old when she became a quadriplegic. She now has a 9-year-old. 2 years later, what has the Canadian government offered her? But made medical assistance in dying. They want her to euthanize herself, to kill herself. What type of country robs a child of their mother when they're still living? Yes, I get that $40,000 is a lot of money per month to pay in therapies to help improve the quality of life. But in socialized medicine, isn't it all supposed to be hunky-dory? Isn't that supposed to be the height where everybody has bought in so that way the poorest of poor can experience the highest of highs? Isn't it supposed to be that everybody is paying their part so when cases like Kayla's happen, they're well taken care of? Socialized medicine is fraud. That's exactly what it is. And in Justin Trudeau's Canada, It is something that is disgusting to offer somebody three times to kill themselves. And then YouTube, within hours, removed the show from Dr. Peter McCullough and myself for having that up there. And that wasn't the only thing that YouTube removed last week with Dr. Peter McCullough. You see, he went on to the Matt Kim show and also had a great conversation, and YouTube took that down within hours. What's going on here? Is this pre-censorship? Is it the fact that they see the name Dr. McCullough and they immediately remove him from the conversation and say, nope, that show can't air. It's got him. You know, he's going to be spreading medical misinformation. Can somebody please spell this out for me? How does the doctor, who is the most peer-reviewed doctor in the history of medicine, published in more publications than any other doctor, has more COVID-19 papers published that have been peer-reviewed than any other doctor in medicine as well, how is it that he has been painted a misinformation and disinformation spreader simply for asking questions and doing the medical research with other doctors? Would somebody please spell it out so I can understand it like a kindergartner? Because apparently it's going over my head at whatever level you think that you're explaining it. So dumb it down for me. Tell me why it is that my content now has its second strike on YouTube. And one more strike. You know what happens to my show? In two more weeks, there will never be an America Emboldened episode on YouTube ever again, because I will have a lifetime ban for my show. Sure, I guess I could try to create another email account and put it up there, but I'm pretty sure that the overlords at Google and YouTube are going to figure that out rather quickly, because I think there's policies against trying to get around those bans. So likely, I am done on YouTube. And I got to be honest with you, I really don't give two S's about being done on YouTube, because I have Rumble, I have X, I have other platforms that have not been censoring me. And thank you so much, Rumble. By the way, thank you, Rumble, for offering a platform to so many of us that is allowing free speech to be published without being filtered. If you guys get an opportunity to subscribe to my Rumble page, go rumble.com/AmericaEmboldened. It's important. And why is it important that if you're listening to the show, that you actually do this? I get it. Like, it sounds like you're begging when people say, you need to follow this person, you need to like and subscribe to this. You got to understand at this point in time, when you click follow on the voices that are bringing you truth that are being censored, you are fighting back against censorship. When you see people like Dr. Peter McCullough, who's tagging 10 different individuals in a post saying, would you please go and follow these individuals? I guarantee those 10 individuals all have the same thing in common. They're being pre-censored. And so I was listening to a podcast that my friend Steve sent me. Steve sent me this podcast from Dr. Drew, where he had Mike Benz on. And I've actually reached out to Mike and asked if he would join America Emboldened here within the coming weeks, as I need to get you on ASAP, because this conversation you had with Dr. Drew, I would like to expand upon what's going on with censorship from our intelligence agencies and our government agencies, where they are weaponizing this idea of free speech against certain topics. The algorithms are now very capable of removing people, information, and making sure it doesn't get seen. Now, why am I pointing this out? Again, you might be like, well, Greg, what's going on here? I'm on the America Out Loud News Network, right? I've been doing this show for almost 400 episodes at this point in time. 400's coming up here, I think, in about 12 more shows. I got to do my math on that. Might be 11 more shows. But we'll celebrate it when we get there, because that's a nice milestone, right? 400, I like it. But 100,000 people, right? 100,000 people just through the network. That's not counting the millions of people on X that have seen my work. Tell me then, why is it that my account has been completely throttled since July? Why is it I go up 100 followers, I lose 50? I go up 100 followers, I lose 70. I go up 100 followers, I lose 60. Why is it I can't get followers to look at my work, despite the fact that when I go on these podcasts, I say to people, hey, you know what? You want to support me? Go to Patreon. You can go subscribe there, or you can come on to X. It's starting to make me think that one of two things is either going on here. The first thing I think is the most plausible. The most plausible is that I'm hidden from people on X, so the average person is not able to see my content, that it's not prioritized the way that they prioritize the individuals that have not been pre-censored, that I stepped on a third rail, so to speak, with my reporting over back in July, covered some topics that are taboo that you're not allowed to talk about, same things that Schellenberger and Taibbi have been talking about. They apparently are too big to censor, although I know that Taibbi's been censored as well. But I'd like to know, what is it exactly that I did to keep me at 7,000 people? How is it 9.5 million people look at just one of my stories and I only gained 4,000 followers, despite being the top trending story on the entire platform for 48 hours? And how is it I continue to do shows with, say, Dr. Peter McCullough, which did close to 250,000 views and listens last week, and I gained 52 people that are subscribing to my content and following along? Again, maybe you think this is me complaining. I'm not. I don't care at the end of the day how many followers I have. I care that truth is reaching people. I care that if I'm spending this time using my research and intuition and all the guests that I can interview, I want to make sure that my guests get the reach that they deserve. And I don't believe that they are at this point in time. I believe that it's a coordinated effort to make sure that people can't see things. I know the America Out Loud News Network on Google is not prioritized whatsoever anymore. It's almost as if, you know, many of the contents things that people would type in are not going to pop up the way they used to. My name used to come up as a top search for a ton of different content with Hunter Biden, John Paul MacIsaac, Michael Bednarik, and now I'm kind of buried. People have to really look for me. And so the best thing you can do right now, if you want to fight back, is to start searching through the people that you trust and who they're telling you to follow, and start following them as well. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen. You know, we started the show with psychics and my skepticism. There are real people out there. I believe 100% in Samantha and the work that she does. She made me an absolute believer on Saturday night. But there are people right now like Chuck Calesta, and it's better I don't get into a ton of different names here on this, but they're posting fear pornography for you to look at for clickbait. And how come they're not censored? How come they're allowed to put this stuff out there? But, you know, meanwhile, I put somebody like Sun Weather News, Ben Davidson, on my show twice, who talks about the magnetosphere weakening, the Earth's weakening magnetic field, talks about solar storms. And here we are having a horrible X-class flare that shot our way towards Earth. And on Sunday, it hit us with a KP index of 8. The auroras were seen as far south into England, all right, and possibly parts of Pennsylvania Sunday night as well. Waiting to hear the reports here on Monday to find out exactly where all it was seen. But it was a really bad storm. There's people that are using this for fear porn right now, as if the entire power grid's about to go down. Meanwhile, you go to Ben's page, who I've told you can trust, and he's like, everybody, it's not going to be as bad as, you know, it could have been. You know, this is not a KP10. It's not even a KP9. It was forecast to be a KP7. It did peak at a KP8. Yeah, sure, it wasn't great. There were some disruptions. They were mostly minor. We're all okay. The M-class that came did not continue behind the X, and so we're doing pretty good right now. Look, that's very easy. When you trust somebody and you got a good source, everything works out. But I guarantee you that even Ben is being throttled on all of these platforms. That seems to be what's happening now. Meanwhile, we have a lot of noise and distraction. Alex Jones, noise and distraction. He's out there interviewing Mike Tyson. And apparently Mike Tyson's interview, because he doesn't actually own, I guess, the rights to his own show. So they pulled the Alex Jones interview. What's that all about? You know, and why is it Mike Tyson's now the headline with Jake Paul getting ready to fight? How is it that he has resurged back to the top of the charts, so to speak, to be seen? Now, I also am following a couple other stories here. You know, that's I'm getting off my soapbox about the whole censorship regime, but I hope that you find that kind of interesting. Feel free to send my work. If there's a show that you really like, whatever it was, make sure you share it with a neighbor, share it with a loved one, a friend, and ask them to help support the show through a like, follow, subscribe, whatever they want to do. But just to be seen, I think it's important that, you know, we start to have this freedom movement, freedom of information, freedom of patriots, bold Americans and freedom lovers worldwide. You don't have to be a bold American per se, like I said to Kayla. You just got to be a lover of truth and freedom. If you're wanting that, you're a friend of me and you're a friend of the show. Let's build that community and let's build together. All right, so Letitia James, Engeron, and all these individuals, I released the financials on Letitia just a few weeks ago with Chris Michaels when we had our guest in there, and we heard a ton of things. Well, now Donald Trump is on the verge of, we'll see if he has the money or not. Last week he said he had $500 million to sell this $464 million civil fraud judgment, of which he has to put up millions more in order to appeal it. Otherwise, he's going to likely be locked out of his own buildings because Letitia James here this Monday would like to start the process of holding everybody liable by seizing his assets. And that's what this is all about. What's happening here is a seizure of assets. It's a political ruse, a political game that's being played. Because they know that it was going to take about $500 million for Donald Trump to run his campaign. That's where this $464 million civil fraud judgment comes from. Because let's be honest here. Trump borrowed the money after inflating his claims, as every single person does when they're borrowing their money in that type of industry. And he did not steal from anyone. In fact, he paid back all the money. And he paid it back with interest, which is why it's a civil fraud judgment and it's not a criminal judgment. Can people get that through their thick skulls that are having trouble understanding why people are shouting that this is not right? What's going on here to Donald? That this could be weaponized against you and you should be paying attention that, yeah, this is not good whatsoever. And so, unfortunately, most people are asleep at the wheel over this $464 million. They believe it's a penalty that he should have to pay for all the wrong that he did. How dare he defraud the people of New York? He paid everybody back with interest, already made their money back. This is nothing more than a political hit piece and attack. And Letitia James, guess what? There's people that are starting to really look at you. And as they're looking into your finances and seeing the millions of dollars that are coming in non-campaign years and seeing the steakhouses, clubs, and every place that you're going, the lavish vacation resort areas where you're going for meetings and the staff that you take to it. Yeah, that's right. Remember, karma comes around. It always does. So be very careful that your skeletons in your closet don't fall out, Miss James. Because it's looking like the skeletons may be falling out pretty soon if the information that I'm getting is pretty solid. And I believe it is. I think that Ms. James is going to have some troubled days ahead. Maybe not this year, but in 2025 when Trump is out of the picture on the legal front and likely maybe the president, you're going to see the tables get reversed. But they're going to do everything they can to make sure that that doesn't happen in the meantime. And the last story that I'm going to cover before I break for the day. You heard about the Princess of Wales. She talked about how she has cancer. My friend Christine, she often, you know, brings up good points. And she mentioned, you know, the royals have always kind of told the world about something. That they have a pattern of using the royal family if they want to get a message out. And so as Kate Middleton is diagnosed with cancer, and I certainly, you know, my prayers and love go out to anybody diagnosed with cancer, including Kate and the King. If you have cancer, it's one of the most ravishing things that any human being can have to deal with, both mentally, physically, and it takes its toll not just on the patient, but on the families as well. So absolutely heartbreaking. But what is actually going on here? See, there's a story that came out over the weekend by Henry Botkin in The Telegraph. And he said, leading doctors are warning about a mysterious new epidemic of abdominal cancers in younger people. In fact, they're seeing a significant increase in under 45s presenting with cancers typically that were seen in older patients. And these are in fit and outwardly healthy people, which are prompting a scramble among scientists to establish what is causing the trend. Is it because young people don't think about cancer, so they put off their care? Or is it because there's something going on in the world that's causing this? Now, there are people that carry genes that could be affected by cancers at an increased level. Maybe it's the gut microbiome. Maybe it's something that we've tampered with our food, genetic modification. Maybe it is something with spike proteins. Maybe it is just we have better awareness and we're better at, you know, diagnosing. But I don't think that that's the case, given these numbers that are there. I think most likely it's more about our food supply or the spike protein and what people put into their bodies. Very, very possible. So I will also see if I can get a couple oncologists on to talk about this as well, to dispel what is fact, what is fiction, what is subjective, what is objective, and we'll get to the bottom of it. I hope I honored your time well here, gave you a little food for thought about psychics and whether or not you believe that's scientific. I'd love to hear your stories. If you've ever had an experience with a psychic, a medium, or any of those types of individuals, let me hear about it. Follow me over at @RealGregBolden on Twitter. You can send a direct message. They're open. Or if you're one of my Patreon subscribers, you have access to me anytime. Just leave me a message on Patreon. You got direct messages and write you back. Even do meetings with my subscribers as well. So you get an opportunity to be on video. Do video calls face to face. Find out what you want to hear on future shows and just talk. So building a nice little community there. Patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened. Want to thank the America Out Loud News Network as always for carrying this content. We're going to have a great week of shows. Looking forward to it. Hope that you and yours are having a great week leading up to this blessed Easter. All right, everybody. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.